السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. May the peace of God be with you and upon you all, my dear brothers and sisters. In the name of God, the most merciful, the most compassionate. May His peace and blessings be upon all the messengers, the prophets, the apostles that He sent to us, to the humanity, to guide us, to show us the right way, to bring us salvation, and to make us better human being, beginning with Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and the seal of the messengers, Muhammad. And his family, his progeny, his companions, and upon all the righteous people, the good people, the sincere people who are working hard to protect their communities, to protect their families, to protect their nations and their countries, and to protect the humanity. Let me begin first by giving condolences to the family of our late friend and brother, Mr. Hushain Purrang. My condolences to all of you, especially to his wonderful wife, Mina Kakwand Purrang. Mr. Purrang, I've known him for almost 20 years. A good-hearted man. I remember when we started this mosque in Irvine, Sky Park Circle, he came one day to the Friday service, and he was sitting among the congregation, and he was smiling the whole time when I was speaking. This is 20 years ago. I was much younger. My beard was all black, believe me. He was watching me and approving with a smile, nodding his head, as if he's saying, I agree with you. And our friendship started from that time. Very good spirit, very good human being. He was an honest man. And he has a family that is very honest. I respect Mina for her integrity and her honesty. I fall in love with those who are honest, because I believe religion is about honesty. Religion is about speaking the truth, fulfilling your covenant with God and with the people. This is religion. And this is why Prophet Muhammad was known from the first day. Before his ordination, before he started his mission at the age of 40, his people in his community, they knew him as being with two characteristics, as being trustworthy and honest. Muhammad, they called him Muhammad al-Sadiq al-Amin, Muhammad who's truthful and honest. And the essence of Islam is about honesty and truth. This is the essence of Islam. It's not something else. So I give condolences to his wife, his honorable wife, Mina, Sister Mina. We stand with you. Our hearts go for you on this tragedy, losing your friend. Before being your husband, he was your friend. And I know how much Mina she sacrificed for her husband. Because he had heart failure and heart disease for many years. She used to take him to the hospital by herself. She would stay next to him, to his bed, for several days and sometimes several weeks. And she never complains. She would do that. She would do this out of love and compassion. And this is a true marriage. True marriage is based on sacrifice. when the husband and wife, they sacrifice their life, their time, their money, their energy, their thoughts for each other. They build strong family. And I give condolences to his son, Kiwan Purang, who is, I believe he's among us. Yes, may Allah bless you. And also to Neda. Neda, where is Neda? She's not here. I give condolences to her and to her husband, Tim Disney. And I give condolences to Gulnar, wonderful Gulnar, and wonderful Ahu. Ahu means gazelle. Look at her, she's a gazelle. Beautiful children, raised by a good mother. Good mother. You did a great job in raising and protecting your daughters. And I give condolences to your brothers, Sister Mina, your brothers, Jahan Ban and his wife, Mahnas. And to the whole community, many of you here tonight, you have known Mr. Purang, Hushang Purang, for so many years. You've known him on television. He was a celebrity on the Iranian language channels. And many of us, I remember back in the 90s, I used to watch him and enjoy his show. The most important and frequent and common question that people ask themselves about it all the time. I'm sure that each and every one of us, we ask this question at some time in our life. We did ask this question. Why I am here? What's the purpose of my creation? And people give different answers. Some of these answers are, I'm here to have fun, to enjoy my time. I'm here to eat, drink, party, and have fun. Others would say, I am here to build this life, to be a successful person. I am here to have good college degree, graduate from good school, get a good job, make good money, have the best house, the best living, to build this life. And others would say, I am here to build this life and the next one too. And this is exactly what this book says. This is the Holy Quran. We have the story from the time of Moses, the children of Israel, chapter 28. Chapter 28 is called the story because it gives you stories of many prophets and messengers and communities who came before us, before Islam. There was a man working with Moses. Actually, he was his right hand. He was his assistant. By the name, the Quran calls him, the Arabic, in Arabic, Harun, and the Bible calls him Korah. This man was helping Moses. He was fighting tyranny and corruption. But then God said, let me test him. Let me see whether this man is sincere or not. So God gave him wealth. And the wealth was so much that there is a parable in this book. The Quran says, we have given him so much, وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ. We have given him so much wealth that the keys to the treasures, his treasures, were so heavy that even men of power could not carry them. Imagine the keys to the safe boxes that he had, where he gathers and hides his wealth, were so heavy. And he changed 180 degrees. Money changed him. He forgot his real mission in this life. He forgot the poor, and the needy and the oppressed. And he rebelled against Moses. He said to Moses, bye-bye, Moses. I'm a different person now. I don't want to help you. Not only he rebelled and he defied Moses, he started hurting his own community, assaulting his own community, the children of Israel, harassing them. So the community came to him and they said the following. They said, oh, Korah, do not exalt. So they said to him these four things, which we all have to adhere to and follow. They said to him, لَا تَفْرَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرْحِينَ. Do not exult in the land. Do not become arrogant. God is testing you with this money, with this wealth. The same God who gave you this money and this position, he can take it, easily take it away from you. Easily take it away. Today you are wealthy, tomorrow maybe you lose your wealth. I just heard a story on the NPR 2 days ago that one of the wealthiest people in the world, he's from Brazil. 2 days ago, his airplane touched down. He took a flight from New York to Rio. As soon as the airplane touched down in Rio, he was arrested. He was handcuffed. And he's in the prison now. He has billions of dollars. But these billions of dollars did not help him. They consider him a criminal now. One day he's wealthy, the other day he loses his wealth. One day people respect him, probably the other day he loses his respect. One day he has a position, the other day he loses his job and his position. So no one should become arrogant. Wealth, position, influence, knowledge, power should not make us arrogant. This is number one. لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين. The second they said to him, وابتغي فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة. Seek in what God has given you. God has given us many things. Let's seek in that the next chapter. Because we're going to go to the next chapter. This is not the end. This little life is not the end. There is another one. But at the same time, they said to him, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. While you are working for the next, also do not forget about your share, your portion, nasib, portion in this life. Meaning that God does not want you to be poor. God does not like to see you unemployed. God does not love to see you lazy, doing nothing. Not helping yourself, not helping your family, not helping your community, being a burden on your country. No. God does not want you to see you like that. God wants us to be full of energy, full of production, working hard. Even God, when he was creating miracles and helping the prophets with miracles, he says to Moses, we have this miracle in the Quran and the Bible both, that Moses, he hits with his cane, he hits the sea, and the sea parts into two, divides into two parts. God said, listen, Moses, I'm not doing that for you. You have to hit the sea. Wadhrib, strike. So God said to him, you have to take the first initiative. I'm not doing that for you. Though I am helping you with a miracle, I'm helping you and your community, but you have to push the button. Strike. Why? Because God says, I want you to work. Don't just call upon me without not working. Today I'm telling the Muslims, if you are in a state of fear, prayers alone are not going to help you. Believe me, trust me. You have to work. You have to call your congressman. You have to call the senator. You have to go and visit their office. You have to go and tell them, I'm an American citizen. I love this country. I'm not doing something wrong. You have to stand with me. So you have to work. Once we work, then the second we say, oh God, help me. But you don't say, oh God, help me without working first. Do you agree with me? And then they said to him, wa ahsin, be good as God has been good to you. Wa ahsin kama ahsan Allahu ilayk. Our God is the most merciful. He has done many good things for us. So we have to return the favor, not to him. He's God is self-sufficient. God is not waiting for food or a drink. He's not homeless. He doesn't need our money. Neither he needs our prayers here. He says, when you pray, you are praying for yourself. You are helping yourself out. When you fast in Ramadan, you are helping yourself and your community to be a better person. God is self-sufficient. When God says pay charity, he's not poor. He's not hungry. God does not get hungry, neither thirsty. God is self-sufficient. We are the one who are weak and vulnerable. We need to eat, we need to sleep, we need to rest, we need to have a friend. God says you have to do these things for your own self. So return the favor of God by doing good to others. And finally, they said to him, وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. And seek not the work, seek not to work corruption in the land. God does not like those who are corrupt. This is a message to all of us. This message, this story happened 4,000 years ago. Or 3,000 years ago. But it's a message for all of us. We should not do corruption in the land. Neither with our tongue, mouth, speech, nor with our hands. We have to build this earth. To maintain it, to protect it. This is what you and your husband have been doing. Your husband left this earth while he was doing good. So you don't worry about him. He's in a better place there. The second section of my speech is to welcome Chief Sharpnak. Chief Sharpnak is also Roxy. He's the chief of police of our beautiful city, Costa Mesa. I'm one of the people who's very proud to be one of the citizens of this beautiful city, Costa Mesa. And I'm sure many of you who live in Costa Mesa or in neighboring Irvine, you are also proud to be part of this community. So we welcome you, Chief. We welcome your visit. And soon we will listen to you. And finally, we thank God that you were He freed you, you know, for a couple of hours because he's super busy. He was planning to come, I think, where was it? In December? Or I can read the date because we made a plaque here and we put the date, original date. January, yes. So finally, you are here. And in particular, we thank the police force, the law enforcement agencies in our city, in Costa Mesa, who are doing a great job in protecting us. So we appreciate everything you do for the community. We greatly and deeply appreciate, and we thank you for that. And also, Chief, I don't know what is the personnel of your department, how many people work under your leadership. But those men and women here, consider them to be policemen and policewomen in your department. Our religion and our book and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he states, كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. Every person of you is a protector, caretaker of his community. Each and every one of us. We are policemen and women. We must protect our city, our land, our homes, our families, our neighbors, our streets. our community, each and every one of us. So we are members of your department, though we are not on payroll, so don't worry about it. And this is part of our religion. And Muslims, I assure you, Chief, that Muslims are a very peaceful community. If you get to know them on a personal level, you would feel that they have good hearts, good intention, sincere. They came to this country with conviction and understanding. We are here by design. I speak about myself. I'm a triple immigrant. Triple immigrant. I left my native Iraq first time to Kuwait, second time to the United Kingdom. I was there for 5 years in London. Sipur knows me. And 23 years ago or 24 years ago, I chose to be in this country. By design, not by accident, by design. I chose to come to this country to be a citizen because I love the principles of this country. I love the constitution and I love the people. And most of the Muslims here are not a burden on the state. They are a plus, not minus. They are contributing. Contributing their wealth. They are taxpayers. They contribute into the well-being of this country economically, culturally, spiritually, politically. They are very active and they love this country. So they are not a burden. And they are not a threat. All what they are asking is justice and equality. When some people at the highest office, they advocate selective justice is injustice. When they say, we only take care of those, but not those. This is injustice. America is for all. We have almost 330 million citizens. They all are honorable. They all should be protected. The job of the highest office is to protect the American citizens, regarding whether they believe in God or whether they disbelieve in God. I chose to come to this country because of the separation of the state and religion, state and church. So here, if we view people based on their religious beliefs, this is a violation of the Constitution. This is a violation of the founding fathers of this nation. They never discriminated between Christians and others. What worries me is that we are not doing injustice to the Muslims when we ban them. We are doing injustice to the founding fathers of this nation, to the Constitution of the United States of America. So, Chief, you are in a community that they love this country. And they are willing to defend it. And many of them in the Muslim community, they have their children serving in the armed forces because they believe in this cause. And we are here to build, not to spread corruption. Not for terrorism. Actually, many of us, including me, your servant, I'm a victim of terrorism. I'm a victim of tyranny and dictatorship. I lost 15 members of my family under the regime of Saddam Hussein. 15 members of my family were executed by Saddam Hussein, including my grandfather, 82 years old. And the youngest one was only 15 years old. My cousin, my first cousin. Because they chose to say no to dictatorship, to tyranny, to corruption. They said no. They paid the price. And let me say something else before I leave the podium and I invite Chief Sharpnack to speak. Tonight also is the night where we celebrate the birthday of a lady who was a hero, not just a lady who was an example, a role model. And that is Lady Zainab alayhi salam. A lady who was a symbol of heroism, a symbol of resistance against tyranny and injustice 1400 years ago. And this lady should be an example for our women and our daughters today. We remember her because we want to empower our women. And I always believe, and I always say, exactly what our book and our prophet says. Women are half of the society. No society can function in a civil way without the participation of women. A society that demeans women, neglects women, usurps their rights, is not a human society. That is not a human society. We want you to be empowered. We want you to be strong. I was very honored a few days ago when I went to the Women's March in LA. And I was very excited to see that at least women in this community, in this country, in this nation, they speak loud. They are free. If someone insults them, they tell him, you are wrong. Even if you are my president, you are wrong. I'm not going to submit to you just because you are a president. A community that disrespects women, that community disrespects God too. Because it's saying to God, listen, God, half of your creatures are useless. And definitely a person who disrespects women is disrespecting Islam and Christianity and Judaism and other religions. Zainab, we love her because her brother said to her the day he stood against tyranny, many people did not want to join him. Many people were happy with their homes and their children and their food and the good weather. They said to him, go and fight by yourself. We are not coming with you. She left her house and her family and her children and her husband. And she said, I'm going to join you. Because your revolution against tyranny is not going to be completed without the participation of women. For those who think that Islam is against women, look at the life of Zainab. Imam Hussein took her with him on purpose. She's not going to carry a sword and fight with him, alongside with him, no. He's going to carry the sword, but she's going to be his voice, translating his ideas and ideals and values to mankind. This is why she's important. And because Zainab was important and instrumental in the history of Islam, ISIS, who are against every value, every good value, ISIS, who are killing more Muslims than non-Muslims, they attempted 5 years ago to destroy her shrine in Damascus. You know, she died in Damascus in Syria. Many of you have been to her shrine. She's buried there. She has a beautiful shrine, beautiful dome and minarets. And thousands of people from Syria, from neighboring countries, they go and pay tribute to her. ISIS, because they hate women, and they hate men, and they hate the truth, and they hate justice, and they hate every good value, they decided to level her shrine with the ground. And they got very close to her shrine. But people, civilians, they said, we are not going to allow this to happen. They carried weapon, and they defended the shrine. Because it's not about the shrine, it's not about the bricks, it's about values. There is an honorable lady there, an honorable lady like Mary, who stood for the truth and justice. So they did not allow ISIS to advance and occupy and eventually destroy her holy shrine. My friends, we have a long way to go. With this new administration, we have a long way to go, and we need you to be prepared. We need you to be engaged in your country. This is your home. As someone said in the past, our home is not where I was born. Our home is where my children are growing now. This is our home, the United States of America. And we are proud to be American citizens. And there is no contradiction between being a good American and a good Muslim. There's no contradiction. You can be a good Muslim, practicing Muslim, and a good patriotic American, loving this land and this country and the people around us. And we believe in that. This morning, I had the most reverend Kevin Vann, the Bishop of Orange County. He came to the office, very humble man. You saw him on this podium 3-4 weeks ago giving his speech. He said to me, Mustafa, since the Friday when the executive order was signed by the president, you and your community were in my mind and my thoughts and my prayers. And he brought this candle with him and he said, I did a lot of prayers on this candle. I brought it to you. He gave it to me as a gift. And I said to him, Bishop, I'm going to show this to my community tonight. And we are thankful to you. Thankful to the Catholic community. Thankful. Thankful to University Synagogue. The rabbi called me. He said, Mustafa, we are there for you. Many interfaith leaders in Orange County, in LA, they said, we stand with you. Yesterday, I met the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti. And he said to me the same, Mustafa, we stand with you. He had a press conference with the city council members. They all unanimously, some of them are Jews, some of them are Armenian, some of them are Catholic, some of them are different religions. They all unanimously, they said, any attack on Islam and the Muslim community is an attack on us. We have to be proud that we live in such beautiful community, society, country. People come to our aid. This is the society of the people, by the people, for the people. We have to be proud. And above all, God is on our side. I said to many of you who were fearful, I said to you, listen, you are not doing something wrong. You are not murderers, rapists, thieves. You came to this country, you are contributing, you are working, you are paying taxes. Okay, you are keeping this country strong. Why should you fear? You should not fear. The one who attempts to abuse you should fear. And God says always, I am on the side of those who are righteous. Remain righteous, God would be on your side. Muhammad, are you ready to read? So before Chief Sharpnak comes to the podium, a young member in our community, she wrote a letter to President Trump. I want you to listen to this letter read by Muhammad. Muhammad, come here.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this was a letter addressed to the president, our president, President Donald Trump, by one of the young community members. She's a graduate from USC and is working in the professional field currently. Dear President Trump, since preserving American jobs seems to be very important to you, I'd like you to know that every single older male in my immediate immigrant Muslim family has had their own companies. That is five men that have had over 3,000 employees over their careers, most of which were American white males, your favorite, from distribution to manufacturing to real estate and plastic surgery, from psychology to interest-free loan charities. They have had offices all over the world, representing America across borders from China to Switzerland to Germany and Guadalajara to Singapore and others. They have had charities from the US to Turkey to Indonesia to Iran and Iraq. To anyone in the world they saw I needed help. They never. Religion was never important to them because in their eyes, Christians, Muslims, Jews, atheists, they all bled the same and have all been created with equal attention by an all-encompassing and loving God. I am born from American immigrant Muslim parents, and I am proud of who I am. I love in two languages, and neither do I live in the words of hatred, discrimination, or racism, because I have learned from my Prophet, peace be upon him, to be a mercy for all worlds, and for my American forefathers to stand for justice for all. Remember, Mr. Trump, the Constitution says, we the people. It does not say, we the white Christians, or even we the Americans, or we the men, or we the African Americans, or even we the Native Americans. It says, we the people, meaning all people, whether poor or rich, or Jewish or Muslim, or woman or man. Our Constitution includes all people with all backgrounds and all faiths. As Calvin Coolidge said, our Constitution guarantees equal rights to all our citizens. Without discrimination on account of race or color, I have taken my oath to support the Constitution. It is a source of your rights and my rights. And I propose to regard it and administer it as a source of rights of all the people, whatever their belief or race. This is America. This is the country that raised me to be conscious and loving of all people. This is the America that made me stand up for the rights of the oppressed, that inspired me to travel the world and search to help the less privileged. This is the country that I call my own. I do not think I am worthy to be here because of what members of my family have contributed to the American economy, but rather I believe I deserve to be here because I am human, and in the eyes of the Constitution that this country has been built on, that has always been enough. I pray that, as Dr. King said so many years ago, we are not to be judged by the color of our skins, but by the content of our characters. We are not to be judged by the sacred books we follow, but by the universal love we all believe in. As a Muslim, I believe that every human being is innately good, and so I believe your essence by nature is good too. So I pray you can unveil the beauty that God placed inside of you and manifest the love to this country. I believe in redemption, and I believe that it is never too late to become better. This is your chance, Mr. Trump. I pray that you take it. Thank you.
So, finally, we welcome Chief Robert Sharpnock for his visit tonight. And I asked him to come. And also, we thank Roxy Fayette, his assistant. She looks much more attractive in hijab, you know. So he can keep it on for 2 days. She's public. Sorry, correction. She's public affairs manager. One day she's going to be the mayor of Costa Mesa. Yeah. So please, Chief, would you come here, please? Thank you. It says, the Islamic Educational Center of Orange County honors Chief Robert Sharpnock in recognition of his efforts in keeping our community safe. Thank you.
Okay. So, I invite you to, you don't need this one.
Good evening. Thank you. It's truly an honor and a privilege to be before you here tonight. I want to thank you all for welcoming me here so graciously. You know, it was said that two tenets of Islam are honesty and truth. Similarly, with the Costa Mesa Police Department, key values, or I should say core values, that we espouse to are honesty, integrity, character, and service. Those are the ideals that we raise the bar every single day, day in and day out, as we serve a diverse and dynamic community in this community of Costa Mesa. Over the last 23 years, I've been a member of the police department here. I've seen a lot of changes in our community, a lot of changes locally throughout Orange County, regionally, and throughout the state. And I can tell you, we have been committed as an organization, and now that I am fortunate enough to be the leader, continuing that commitment to move forward, to be diplomatic, to be fluid, and to continue our dedication to serving our communities equally. Those who live here, work here, and who visit our community. And one thing that we focus on day in and day out as we go about all of our tasks is treating people with dignity and respect. Going out of our way to set a standard, not just a standard that has a plateau, but constantly striving to do a better job, to make an impact in people's lives, to engage people, and to give people a reason to be passionate and to collaborate with us for a better community, for a better environment, and for a safer environment in the end. So today, when I received word last week that we're coming here, and fortunately today it worked out, I can't tell you what an honor it is to be before you to speak a little bit about my philosophy, but more so about the values and the truths of the Costa Mesa Police Department. And that is, we diverse police a diverse community and treat folks with respect. While we have a variety of contacts, for example, we respond to over 100,000 calls for service per year. Last year, we had 8 citizen complaints. So even though that may seem as a small percentage in the real perspective of things, that's not good enough. One of the beliefs that I have pushed through the organization and continue to do so is, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And I can see many of you who are here tonight are contributing members of our community. Whether you live here, whether you come here to worship, whether you travel through our community, you're here trying to make the best of it, much like I am. I come to work, I try to do the best job I can to provide for my family and my children, and to honor my chosen profession, which is law enforcement. Many people see things that happen both throughout the state or across the nation, and they impact us. As we wear a uniform, a lot of the actions that go on, sometimes people have a broad perspective of us in law enforcement. And that's why it's vital for us to come out into the community, to engage our constituency, to engage folks and ask for that partnership, for that engagement in not only fighting crime, improving quality of life, but to making this a better world in a small environment, which is the city of Costa Mesa. Many of you may not know, but I'm very active in collaborating, in as are the chiefs surrounding this area. So for example, Chief Mike Campbell from Irvine, Chief John Lewis from Newport Beach, Chief Rob Handy from Huntington Beach, Chief Dan Lawrence from Fountain Valley, Chief Carlos Rojas from Santa Ana. We all work together, we all collaborate. At a given notice or given moment where a crisis may stem up, we call upon each other. We know that we can count on each other to come to each other's aid and to help make a situation, a bad circumstance, better at the end of the day. As I stand before you today, I want you to know and I want you to believe that if you come across a situation or a circumstance in your life, you can count on calling me the Costa Mesa Police Department, to come to your aid, to help you, and to help make your situation better. So, thank you. Nationally, as well as throughout the state, even in here in Orange County, locally in Costa Mesa, there's a lot of distrust, there's a lot of anxiety in our communities, and I'm here to tell you, we are a community, we are a police department that accepts and builds upon diversity. Diversity is what makes us stronger. Diversity is what gives us added perspective, added strength, and knowledge and passion to handle the day in and day out tasks and items that ultimately build our communities and make them better places. So no matter what you do, we all have something to offer. We're all willing to step up and gain those partnerships and to bond shoulder to shoulder. And that's what it's all about after all. You know, when I come again to the communities, I'm actively assisting and I'm actually encouraging folks to come and join our efforts, to step forward with us in solidarity, to go past the wrongs that are going on in society, and stand tall for the truths and what we believe in the American way, to protect and to serve our communities. And again, we handle a variety of calls. We handle a lot of calls in our community. And I can tell you, we may not always meet the call, the expectation that I have. We're constantly raising the bar. However, there are alternatives, there are methods for folks to contact us. And so I want to tell you tonight, if you ever hear from a member of my organization or you ever encounter an issue, I want you to call me personally. We don't sweep things under the rug. We don't put them in a file and close the drawer. I personally read every single email, I listen to every single phone call, and I return every single piece of correspondence. And that's what, after all, it's all about, being a public servant, a servant with a heart's desire to make this a better community. And I just want to say again, it's truly an honor to be before you tonight. I thank you all for inviting me here. And I hope that as we move forward in our days, that we have an opportunity to engage, to work together, and to collaborate in a better Costa Mesa. Thank you very much.